Good morning. I trust you're all doing well. I've been speaking on the fruits of the Spirit out of Galatians, if you want to turn your Bibles there. Galatians chapter 5. These messages have been very good for me. In some sense, I mentioned before, I just feel like I've gotten saved just a short time and I'm learning some things I've never learned before. I think the Word of God is like that. I think it doesn't matter how old or how young you are as a believer in Christ Jesus. There's new things in here for every one of us to learn. As long as we're in this life, on this earth, walking this journey, walking by faith, God's got some new things for every one of us. He's still at work at every one of our hearts. He's not leaving us. He's not going to leave us to ourselves to be destroyed. He loves us. He cares about us. When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he knew that that shepherd was going to lead him and guide him. He knew that that shepherd had all the best things at heart for him. It was only for good and not evil. That's who our shepherd is. He cares for us. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one. On my best effort and day, I can't care for that woman the way that Jesus can. But I'm going to try. Because I love her that much. My kids, the same thing. As much as I want to be the best dad in the world, our Father in heaven is the best dad in life itself. I hate to say this. I can't measure up at times to be the father that God is to me, to my kids. I want to. But He's got to do the work in me and through me to accomplish that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you that your word communicates to you us who you are, and you are faithful and true and just and loving and kind and good. And Lord, beside you, there is none other that is like that. Lord, help us. Help us to understand this morning. Help us to see the Lord Jesus and help us with the Holy Spirit to have a better understanding of the Word of God, to recognize the fruit of the Spirit and the things that you're trying to develop in us. God, forgive us for the moments that we're so resistant to what you want to accomplish. Give us grace to receive so that we see that you're changing us, you're conforming us to the image of Jesus. Lord, we need your help this morning. We can't do it in our own effort, our own strength. We need you. Please, oh Lord, work. Please open up your word to us, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 5. I'll just read the two verses. We'll actually come back to this and read a little bit more of this chapter. But verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law." And we're on the last one, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, as we've mentioned before, is something that the Holy Spirit, in the life of a born-again believer, begins to develop in one's life, and it begins to come out. And we've mentioned before that it is a fruit that is not only able to be seen by others, but it also benefits others, but it also benefits us. How so? If we just simply say the whole concept of loving someone, knowing that if you're able to love someone, what's usually returned back to you? Isn't it love? When there's joy, and some of you just have a joyful smile every time that I'm able to shake your hand or be in your presence, that joy just radiates from your life. It's almost like an instantaneous joy that just kind of comes at me. And therefore, the joy not only comes into my life because of what you're doing, what God's doing in your life, then it kind of comes back to you because there's just a response in the body of Christ that when we can enter into the spiritual things with one another, and joy is the joy of the Lord can be our strength. When we see it, we see God working in the heart of each other. It comes back to us because we know at times God has done the same thing in us. Or we have the hope that maybe God will do the same thing in me because of what He's done for you. It's for the benefit of all. It brings glory to God when He's working and there's lives that are changed. Before I came to Christ, I would not bless the name of the Lord. I would not give Him glory. I would not lift up His name and sing praise to His name. Why? Because it was foreign to me. I didn't know Him. Why would I? The work of the Holy Spirit. You say, John, I just don't understand. I just don't feel like the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. I don't really recognize some of the things that you've been saying to me. Let's go back over to John chapter 3. I'm going to have to cut some things out. We'll do our best. Trust the Lord. Let's go over to John chapter 3. Most of you know the story. There's a gentleman, he was a Pharisee, Nicodemus. He come to Jesus by night. We'll pick up verse 2, chapter 3. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? He's thinking logically. He's thinking the physical. He's thinking, all right, listen, you're talking something I ain't got a clue about. I can't jump back into my mama's belly. That's paraphrase. Nicodemus said, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of the water, physical, and one of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, if I could take you back to the very day that you came to Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit spoke to you. He spoke to you about your sin. You say, how so? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a righteousness that God demands from every one of us, and not one of us on our best day can reach that righteousness. It didn't happen with Adam and Eve when they sold their own fig leaves, and God said, it's not good enough. God then what? Clothed them. Which is a type of our own righteousness. We cannot save ourselves. Jesus died on the cross for your sin, for my sin, so that we can be born again by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit that spoke to you on that day that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is the same Holy Spirit that wants to develop the fruit of the Spirit in you. Sometimes we need to go back and begin to fully understand the voice that spoke to us then, because it's the same voice that's going to speak to us now. He doesn't change. He hasn't changed. He will not change. And He is faithful and true, and He is good to His Word. He doesn't change. He doesn't have... My emotions at times for my wife... I don't have this. I can't give this illustration. We don't have time. Believe it or not, it's just an illustration about grilled cheese. So I can't even give that illustration. Ask me later if you're curious. Anyways, the whole concept of the Holy Spirit working in us and us listening to the Holy Spirit is tuning our ears in. There's so much in this life, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh that draws us. The philosophy of this world will draw us away. The battles that we face, the flesh, the devil, and the world's philosophy, the Holy Spirit in the midst of all that wants to speak to us and change us. And in doing so, He wants to develop, cultivate, bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you can do. We can't. I've said to you before, I can't love that woman unless God doesn't give me the love for her. I'm infatuated. But to really love her the way that God wants me to love her, I need God. I need the Holy Spirit in me to do that. A genuine, a purity, a fervency. I can't even cherish her if the Holy Spirit doesn't give me the ability, the grace to cherish my wife. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The whole understanding of the Holy Spirit is not spoken enough today in the body of Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 16, He said, I'm going to go away, and it's needful that I go away because I'm going to then send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Helper, the one who's going to come and live in you. And He's going to lead you and guide you in all things. See, Galatians talks about us in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. We might get there, I don't know. Talks about us walking in the Spirit. And when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior on that day of our salvation, God at that moment gives us the Holy Spirit, and He comes and lives in us and abides. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And He does the work. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit. We'll start in verse 1. Paul, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom. You are not going to hear lofty speech and wisdom from me. I just can't talk that high. For I decided to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, we are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart in these words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are not spiritually, they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. That Holy Spirit that has been given to you by the power of God dwells within you if you've been born again. If you've not been born again, you're not going to have a clue of anything that I'm going to say to you this morning. Marvel not, you must be born again. You've got to come to Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and ask Him to save you. Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise. And as that Holy Spirit lives within us and begins to do a work, begins to produce that fruit. Psalm 100, I believe it is, says, it is God who has made us, not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. We're at a place in our lives, every one of us, to go the next step. We need God, not only God's help, but we also need God's Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. Do you not think that you can't take the wrong step in the wrong direction if you're not listening to the right voice? Come on, you know that's true. Every one of us are capable of that. Every one of us have the capability of saying no to God. You say, oh, I'll never say no to God. Then you need to be careful. Jonah. The moment that David was up on top of the roof there in the Old Testament and looked down, believe it or not, he said no to God. Adam in the garden. Eve took of the fruit. Adam said no to God. We have that ability. We're able to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're able to make a decision contrary to what God wants for our lives, and it grieves Him. You know it's true. Okay, Thanksgiving's coming up. As you sit down to Thanksgiving meal, and you sit down there at the meal, you ask God how much you should eat. And you can say, John, you're meddling now. I'm not trying to be meddling, but it's in the simple things. God wants total control of our lives. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. And the question is, does He have it? This whole word for self-control here in Galatians chapter 6. Let's turn back over to Galatians chapter 5. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn back over there. And we're going to start in verse 13. As you got your finger on verse 13, verse 1 of chapter 5 says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit yourself again to the yoke of slavery. The fruit of the Spirit in this whole area of self-control, and I'll just say this, there's the Greek word for this, without going into great detail, the Greek word's only used four times in the New Testament. It's used once here, it's used twice in 1 Peter chapter 1, where it says self-control, and then the other times it is in Acts chapter 24, when Paul's actually making an appeal to Felix about being saved. Begins to deal with him about self-control. This whole area of self-control, the KJV says temperance. And there's it's trying to bring things into moderation. It's trying to have the correct balance that God would have us to have as born again believers. There's times I'm so far out of balance, it's unreal. I want to be a balanced believer. I really do. And I need the Holy Spirit to accomplish that in me. Coming back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole love is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you not be consumed by one another. He's talking to believers here. You know you have the capability of devouring another believer. You need to be careful. We need to be careful. I need to be careful. God's dealing with me right now with an individual that I happen to work with. And he's got his finger right on my heart saying, you don't love him the way you love him. Or him, or him, or him, or him, or him, or her. And I'm having to go through something right now that God is just saying, you need to love this guy the way that Jesus loves him. You know it to be true that we want to pick and choose at times who we want to love. We want to pick and choose who we want to forgive. We want to pick and choose who we even want to be around. You know it's true. You know it's true. Let's come back to Galatians. But I say, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. There's a war going on in us, usually on a daily basis, because this flesh wants something. Listen, this morning, okay, we had some donuts at the house, okay? I'm sure glad I'm the only one that's going to have this problem, okay? We had some donuts at the house. And the Lord said, I looked over there, man, I want them donuts. And the Lord said, go ask your wife if she wants them. What? Are you serious? You know? Oh, Lord, I want the donuts. So I walked upstairs and I'm standing on the stairs and she's there. She said, what do you want, honey? And I said, there's two donuts down there. Were you going to eat those? And she said, no, you can have them. So I went and ate the two donuts. Now, they're only small donuts. Yeah. Well, I'm going to show you the sinfulness of my flesh. I wanted four. Or really six. Okay? I only got two. Now, come on. That was working against... If I would have said, no, I'm eating the donuts, what's that say about myself? Especially when the Holy Spirit just said, go ask your wife if she wants them. Listen, this is real. This is real. God wants us to walk by the Spirit of God that dwells in you. And are you willing to listen? And then as you listen, are you willing to obey Him? Are you willing to obey Him? This whole area of self-control is God wants control of this carcass. Back when we were little kids, I sang it even when I didn't even know Jesus. Oh, be careful, little eyes. Oh, be careful, little ears. Oh, be careful, little mouth. Oh, be careful, little feet. Oh, be careful, little hands. Can all of that be doing something that God doesn't want you to do? You know it's true. And we're living in an age, we're living in a time that the power of God wants to rest upon His people so that we can be different for the cause of Christ. For His glory. For His honor. For what He's doing. So that the world may know that Jesus is alive. That He's real. That this book is applicable for every one of us today. It's Him. We can't keep this in submission apart from the Spirit of God. Can't do it. The one who did do it was Jesus Christ, the perfect one. And we have the author and finisher of our faith that we need to be looking unto to be able to do that. But it also takes us listening to the Holy Spirit to speak to us and then ask God for the grace to obey. So it's got to happen that way. We can't do it. I can be speaking in my wife's ear, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't do that and bring her to conviction about her sin or something of that nature, God might use me to do that. But we have to be careful that I don't well up in self-righteousness and say, oh, come on, honey, that's sin. We're guilty of that. You know we're guilty. Ten years ago, I saw a man come to Christ. And a man was discipling him. And he was trying to disciple him. And so as he was trying to disciple him, after about 8 months, the guy would no longer meet with the guy. Just sitting down talking to him, and you don't know none of these people. They're from up in Michigan. I began to talk to him, what were you doing? Yeah, we were praying together, reading the scriptures, we were doing all this kind of stuff. And then he said, but all of a sudden I began to talk to him about his immorality. And I asked him, I said, why would you talk to him about his immorality? He said, well, I have a responsibility scripturally. After talking to him a great deal, I began to find out that there's a self-righteousness that this man was conveying onto the other guy. God doesn't call us to clean fish. He asks us to be fishers of men. You know, every one of us don't like to have somebody try and clean us. The Holy Spirit can do it. We need to be real. We need to be transparent. We need to speak truth. We need to speak truth in love. Truth without love is what? Harshness. Love without truth is what? Can produce compromise. It's balance there. God wants us that. We have to be careful that the things that we say. What do you think? I've learned here over the years more when somebody says, well, what's your counsel on this? Usually I want to be one of those things that'll say that comes out of my mouth first is, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? Why? Because you need to hear from Him. Amen. Not me. Why? He'll change your life. I'll ask you to bow to me. Idolatry. Robbing glory from God. God wants to change our lives. He wants us to be walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. What is God saying to you? You know, the question that Scott asks, which I'm just so blessed by every time he asks, what's God saying to you? This is what he's saying. You know why? He's curious to see if you're listening. And really, God's curious to see if you're listening at times. Listen, I would encourage you, we don't have time. I'd encourage you to read Romans chapter 6 and Romans, write this down, Romans chapter 6, 1 through 23. In there it talks about, Paul says, listen, recognize who you yield these instruments of righteousness. Either you can yield them to the flesh or you can yield them to the Spirit of God, and God can use them. God can use your body as a weapon of for righteousness against the enemy. He can. And he will, if we yield them to him. It takes grace. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. It takes prayer. But then read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 16. Coming back to this whole area, are we willing to let God take this? And are we willing to put it under the submission of Jesus Christ for his glory? Are we willing to do that? That's the question. In doing that, and we submit that, there's an element of self-control. Listen, self-control isn't me being in control. Self-control is letting God be in control of this. That's what the Greek word's trying to communicate. When you begin to think about the whole statement, self-control, it implies that I want to be in control. Not so. We're crazy to think that way. You share this testimony, then we'll close. 21 years ago on Caleb's birthday when he was 14, and he knew this would come out in a message sometime, I'm going to show you the foolishness of this carcass. We were at a basketball game, homeschool basketball game. My two sons were in the game. He was 14. He was on his 14th birthday. We go to the game, and I love seeing my boys play. I just love seeing my kids interact with other kids and all that kind of stuff. It's good, you know, so we're there. And so to try and make it short, as we show up, there's two guys dressed as officials. They're not officials. You see where this is going. They're dressed as officials, but they're not officials. Referees. So the game was absolutely terrible. And keep in mind, it was two homeschool groups from Jackson. You know, it was the trained boys against the pickup boys. And my boys were the pickup boys. Though they were trained, it was still the pickup boys. So, I mean, there's some intensity going on here. All believers. In the gym was probably a quarter full of people. And so the officials were not running back and forth on the court. They just weren't doing what they should have been doing. And so the first half takes place, you know, and I'm getting frustrated. I'm sitting there and my sister's there and her husband's there and my wife's there. And in the first, before the first half happened, I said, I think I need to leave. I think the Holy Spirit's asking me to leave. I said that. I think I need to leave. I didn't leave. Second half starts. I have no idea what time frame it was, you know. And we get the game gets going and it's back and forth. Well, then finally the referees were even getting worse and not doing what they were doing. And so the play was down at the every end, it couldn't be any farther on this end of the court. The other, one of the refs was all the way on the other end. And he called a foul. So, I very fleshly said things that were not good. that were not good. And that referee come right over to me. And of course, keep in mind, in a loud gym, I'm pretty... tried to calm me down. I didn't calm down. And he's a believer. And he said, "Sir, I'm going to have to ask you. I'll tell you what. I am going to leave, but I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm not going to tell you what I said, because I wish to God I'd have never said." You see, what happened was I ended up leaving. My wife, you know, she was distraught and I'm sure disappointed with her husband. And my sons, Caleb said he was just over in there saying, "Oh, no, Dad, no, Dad, not today." And oh, Dad did. And so I left. And I was infuriated. Left, shaking my head, was furious. We lived about 5 miles from the gym. I didn't even get a half a mile down the road. And God said, "That was impressive." But God, you know, they're dressed like officials and they're not even officials. They're not even referees. And God said, "And you're a Christian? Did you show that you were dressed as a Christian? You saw what the Holy Spirit began to do." Wasn't even a mile and a half and I was repenting. "Oh God, change me. God, I'm so sorry. I didn't even obey you in the first. I didn't obey you when you told me to leave." Brothers and sisters, when we don't obey the Holy Spirit, it provides an opportunity for the flesh. For us to enter into the flesh and wickedness take place. By the time I got home, I was clean. I was forgiven. My wife had no clue where I was at. Her and the kids walked in the door. I said, "I'm clean." And she looked at me like saying, "Not based on what I just saw." So I explained to her. I immediately asked my wife and my kids to forgive me. But then what God said is, "You've got a whole lot of people you need to go ask to forgive." I then began to set out on a journey, even that day, to find every person that I could. I didn't find everyone. I went to both teams, asking to forgive me. God says, "You got to find where this referee lives and ask him to forgive you." I went to his house once. He wasn't there. I went back about 8:30 at night. He was there. Asked him to forgive me. I was clean. God allowed it to happen, but he poured out the grace upon my life to go and repent and then ask the people to forgive me. And I was free. I was free. That's the Spirit of God in us that will do great and mighty things in us if we just yield to Him, if we give our lives to Him, and we're willing to obey Him when He speaks, when He speaks, when He speaks. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you have forgiven us and cleansed us and set us free. We're so grateful that your Holy Spirit lives and dwells within us. Father, I would pray for all of us right here that if there is something that's hindering you from speaking to us, would you put your finger on it and speak to us about that thing? Lord, give grace for us to obey you in that thing, whatever it might be. Lord, I pray that you would open up our ears to hear only you, that you'd still all other voices, that we know that it would be your voice speaking to us. Well, Father, pray that you would lead us. Help us to be more led by the Spirit of God than we are from this whole fleshly self that wants to focus on self and not you. God, we need you to change us. Please change us. Please conform us to the image of Jesus, our Savior, so that others would see Jesus alive and well and living, so that you would be glorified, you'd be honored. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for your word again, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. We praise you. Give us greater understandings in this area of self-control. And Lord, let us be ready to obey as you speak. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.